on the party line, the Monticello party line, with Sarah and Maggie and Laurie and Paul, and Tuttle and Curly, Louisa and all. Each morning at your radio, all your good friends are saying hello. From Texas to Maine, our great friendship chain. We're friends on the party line. Oh, come listen in on the party line.
Party liners, hello. Have you written to Sarah and Aggie for your apron? Well, if you haven't, I want to tell you that a whole week has gone by since we first announced the offer, and the supply of aprons is rapidly dwindling. You know, people know that on the party line, when we say we have a gift for you, well, it's really a gift. And this time, Sarah and Aggie have simply outdone themselves in preparing their wonderful household apron for you. For those of you who may not have heard about the offer before, let me say that these Sarah and Aggie aprons are no ordinary aprons that you could just pick up in any store. No, sir. They're large, roomy, well-made aprons in an assortment of beautiful colors and materials that will delight you. They're made of the finest percales you can get, including Pepperell and Pacific Mills percales with 80 by 80 threads to the square inch. These names speak for themselves.
In that case, you're doing an awful lot of talking, Ken.
Well, Graham, are you on the line listening to all this?
Why, sure, Ken. Why, sure. Just checking to see that you get all the facts right. Just checking up.
Well, that's the stuff, Clem. And I'm sure that I'm getting the facts right. And party liners, these are only facts. Every Sarah and Aggie apron is bound all around with strong, sturdy tape sewed on to stay on. Each apron has a big, roomy pocket. The apron slips on over your head. There are ties to make it fit snugly around the waist. Ties made of wide ribbon of the same material as the apron itself. And these ties form a neat bow at the back. And as for colors and patterns, well, the sky is the limit. There's every color that you can imagine. Beautiful combinations of spring-like colors, others as bright as summer sunshine, and still others in a more somber autumn blend. And every apron is guaranteed to be tub-fast. The colors will not run. As a matter of fact, after many washing tests, these aprons come out crisper and brighter after washing than they were before. Now, how do you get one of these famous Sarah and Aggie aprons? Well, I'll tell you. It's very simple. Here are the facts on that. You go to your own favorite drugstore today. Get a bottle of Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin combined with laxative center compound. Now, here is a liquid medicine that you should always have in your house anyway, as you should well know by now if you've been listening to the party line, because Syrup Pepsin is just what any and every member of the family needs when they're feeling out of sorts and headachy and sluggish. Now, I ask you, where is there a family in which somebody isn't usually feeling that way? Well, then get that bottle of Syrup Pepsin into your medicine cabinet today. When you get your bottle home, tear off the carton top, and write your name and address on it, or on a separate piece of paper if you want, and enclose the carton top and 10 cents and send it to Sarah and Aggie in care of this radio station. Now, that's all there is to it. One Syrup Pepsin carton top and 10 cents to Sarah and Aggie in care of this radio station. You get your apron postpaid by return mail. It's actually a free offer for friends of Syrup Pepsin, because the 10 cents you enclose is just to help cover the cost of packing and mailing the apron to you. They make wonderful Christmas gifts, and as long as the supply lasts, you can get all the aprons you want if you'll just enclose one carton top and 10 cents for each apron. But, party liners, you must help us. If you want us to get this apron to you in a hurry, you must write to us immediately. You see, if you'll write today, your letter will have time to travel over the weekend, and Sarah and Aggie should get it by Monday at the latest. So write to Sarah and Aggie at this radio station today. It's a dark winter day up near Nome, Alaska. Mists are sweeping in from the ocean and rolling with their penetrating cold far inland over the flat countryside to the distant hills. The room in the infirmary where Jack Owens is slowly recovering from serious injuries is pitifully bare, but it's clean and immaculate. The walls are white calcimine plaster, There's a dresser against one wall, and on it stands a small bouquet of bright straw flowers. The patient is lying perfectly flat on the bed, very pale, with his head almost concealed by a large bandage. He has a visitor who sits awkwardly on the one chair in the room. Rocky is obviously washed and shaved and dressed for this rather solemn mission.
How do you think you feel, Jack?
A lot better than you look like you feel sitting there dressed in your town clothes.
Well, I thought I'd better wash behind the ears. Never can tell what they might get it into their heads to put you out for here.
And you look as if you were visiting a morgue. Do I look that bad?
Why, of course not. You look great, swell.
Yeah, I'll bet.
What I can see of you with that Turkish hat wound around your head. Where's your harem, huh?
Say, you should see it. Old Susie Holliday cleans the room. Mrs. Gillespie, who rustles in here every few minutes, washed and starched to within an inch of her life to stick that crazy thermometer in my mouth, and June.
June? Well, now, that sounds like something. Who's June?
The janitor's cat.
Oh.
It's a nice little cat, too. Slips in every once in a while and entertains me. Sitting on the chair there, washing her face, jumping at my feet under the covers.
What?
Sure, just wiggle my toes. You didn't think I had it in me, did you? Well, I'll bet I'm the best toe wiggler in the infirmary. You watch, see? See, there's a mouse. Now, wouldn't you swear that was a mouse?
Well, I'll be darned.
I tell you, Rocky, lying in a bed in a hospital, you get to think the dumbest things are important parts of your daily program. You practically lie and wait for the thermometer to come down the hall just to break the monotony. Say, Rocky, by the way, did you stop at the post office on your way up here?
Yep, I did.
And still no luck, huh?
Wouldn't be surprised if you got something in the airmail tomorrow.
I wonder.
Of course, when a fella doesn't feel good like you, just getting on the mend, maybe it's just as good there's no letters to read.
It kind of helped to break the monotony, letters would.
Kind of make you restless, too, sometimes. I don't know, maybe not, of course, but if the news in the letters wasn't exactly bright and cheery...
Oh, I'd take a chance on that. Just the sight of a letter from the States would help.
You ain't looking for a letter from your wife, by any chance?
No such luck, Rocky.
No such luck? Then you're hoping for a letter from your wife.
No, certainly not. She doesn't even know where I am.
Well, I'll be gosh darn glad to write and tell her where you are, kid.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Rocky, but it's too soon yet. Someday soon, Rocky, I hope I'll be writing her letter myself. Kind of letter I've never had the sense to write to her.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're going to get in touch with her. It's just plain... Oh, hello, Doc.
How do you do?
Hello, Doctor.
Well, how does he look today, Mr. Rockwell? You're almost the same as my associate on this case by now.
Say, he looks okay. Getting to look like he belonged to the human race again. Darned if he don't.
Well, any time you let me get up and get out of here, Doctor, it'll be okay with me.
The day I let you up and out, my friend, will be, as you say, okay for you. And I will not consent to it until then, either. Are you disposed to have another visitor, Mr. Owens? Or shall I send the young lady away for the third time?
Young lady?
Did you say young lady, Doctor?
I did. A very lovely young lady. Miss Ramsey, daughter of your employer, Mr. Ramsey.
Oh, I see.
This is the third time she's called to bring a bouquet and to inquire about your progress.
Well, is she here now? I'd like to thank her, if she cares to come in.
But of course, I will tell her you feel able to see others besides Mr. Rockwell today.
Well, I'll be moving along, kid. I got some errands.
Hey, wait, Rocky. Stay a while. She'll just stay a minute, and I won't know what to say to her anyway. Don't go now, Rocky.
Well, okay, but this ain't my game, and I...
Oh, yes, he's very much improved, Mr. Ramsey. Oh, here we are. Miss Ramsey, perhaps you're already acquainted with Mr. Rockwell?
How do you do, Mr. Rockwell? I know I've seen you at the camp.
How do you do, miss?
And here we have Mr. Owens. Miss Ramsey, Mr. Owens.
Hello, Mr. Owens.
How do you do, Miss Ramsey?
We were all so terribly sorry to hear about your accident, Mr. Owens. And so proud of you, too, for your very great bravery.
Well, I'm afraid there's been some mistake somewhere.
Sure wasn't any mistake about that. He got banged up saving my no-good neck, if you can imagine that, Miss Ramsey.
Yes, of course I can. Father's told us what good friends you are, and I would expect Mr. Owens to risk his life for a good friend.
Well said indeed. such a friend Mr. Rockwell has been, too, keeping his vigil like a brother. That is something for which it's worthwhile being heroic.
There, how do you like that, Rocky?
Say, for Pete's sake, who's the fellow that has the roses coming, anyway? Me or you? Shucks.
Now, that sound I like. A good laugh is all too rare in a place such as this. Tell me, do you always bring laughter with you, Miss Ramsey?
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid not. There isn't always something to laugh about.
Very often, one must make the things to laugh at. But you're so young, you should need no lessons in how to laugh. Tell me, though, what do you think of our patient?
Well, I think he looks a little pale. Much paler than usual, of course. But I can see he's not so dreadfully ill anymore.
Well, how do you know I'm paler than usual? Well, not that anybody should be suspected of looking like this under ordinary circumstances, I hope, but...
Oh, I've seen you many times.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I've ever seen you before. Have I, Miss Ramsey?
No, I guess you haven't. You always seem to be so absorbed in your work or daydreaming or something. Oh, well, the doctor's here. Mother wanted to know if I could bring some chicken broth to Mr. Owen tomorrow.
What is the significance of this friendly and apparently interested concern on the part of the young Miss Ramsey and her mother? Rocky, watching her eager young face, has his own idea about it. What do you think? Do you suppose that Rocky might have given Jack the letter from Chicago if Miss Ramsey had not appeared? How long does he intend to keep this letter from Jack? And what does the letter contain? Party liners, we switch you now to the packing room at the Caldwell Company, where Sarah and Aggie and the rest of the folks are busy packing the thousands upon thousands of these wonderful aprons that have been requested by you party liners.
Aggie, is that bunch of 6,000 aprons going out on the afternoon train?
Hey, just a minute, I'll ask Clem. Clem?
Yes, dear?
Clem, Sarah wants to know whether all those aprons are ready to go out on the afternoon train.
You bet they are, my dear, and there'll be more added to them. You see, they're all separated according to state. Now, here, about 4,500, and they're all going to the state of Texas. Here's another batch of over 4,000 going into the state of Oklahoma. Here's another bunch to Tennessee, and then some more for Alabama and North Carolina. And then over here are the ones that go up north, up into Michigan and Illinois and Highway and way out in Colorado. And they're going to catch the evening train going north.
My goodness, how many people will be made happy when they get their aprons.
If all of these aprons were tied end to end, why, we'd have a string of aprons big enough to go around the world several times, I bet. Almost big enough to go around good old Sarah here.
Well, that's a busy place these days, the packing room over at the Caldwell Company. Thousands upon thousands of aprons are going out every day to all parts of the country. Have you sent in for your famous Sarah and Aggie apron yet, party line friend? It's the most wonderful apron you ever saw, and you ought to do it right away. Now, here is what you get as a gift from Sarah and Aggie. You get a wonderfully large, beautiful household utility apron made of the finest percale possible to get, 80 by 80 threads to the square inch. You get an apron bound all around with strong, sturdy tape sewed on to stay on. Each apron has a large, roomy pocket, and as for colors, why, there's every color imaginable. You'll simply love your apron. Now, all you do to get one of these famous Sarah and Aggie aprons is to get a bottle of Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin at your own drugstore today. Tear off the cotton top, write your name and address on it, and send it with 10 cents to Sarah and Aggie in care of this radio station. Now, that's all you have to do. Of course, if you'd like to write a note to Sarah and Aggie telling them how you like the party line, by all means do so. They'll be delighted to hear from you. But the important thing is to write to Sarah and Aggie. That's S-A-R-A, Sarah, and A-G-G-I-E, Aggie. Sarah and Aggie today. Send in the syrup, Pepsin, cotton top, and 10 cents, and get your apron ordered. If you write today, Sarah and Aggie will get your letter by Monday, and will be able to ship your apron right out to you. The address is simply Sarah and Aggie in care of this radio station. Why is Becky Ramsey, his employer's daughter, so interested in Jack Owens? Listen for an absorbing visit on the party line Monday.